Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter with Prepare for College. And today we're going to talk about the student athlete again. This is item number two in six different steps we're going to go through. This one's going to be on the first letter, the cover letter that's going to go out. And we're going to talk about, and I'm guessing here, but I'm assuming you're going to talk about who it's going to go to, what we want to put in that letter, and how do we follow up. Chuck presentation here on the athlete section, and he's graciously going to do the presentation today on the first cover letter. Chuck, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Gary. One of the things that before I get started here, this is the first critical step in the marketing process to get your information out to the college coaches. I guess you could say it's the first step in the marketing process. There are six steps, but this is the first one. Now, there are four rules that you need to understand when writing the cover letter. The cover letter should only be written to introduce the student athlete to the college. That's very important. You're introducing yourself, and this is mainly for your non-blue chip athlete. Now, I want to make that clear right up front. The cover letter should be no more than one page in length. The letter should only be written in order to get the coach's attention. And the last one here is to make sure that the information in the cover letter is truthful and honest. In other words, don't exaggerate any of your stats or accomplishments that you put into the cover letter. After completing the first letter, it can be modified for other colleges. In other words, change a coach's name as well as their universities. Now, let's look at some of the benefits of sending out a cover letter to the colleges that you may be interested in attending. Number one, it gets the coaches on their radar about the student athlete. And it's important to understand here is that many college coaches don't have the time or resources to scout every potential athlete. A well-written introduction letter can bring you to their radar or their attention, and that's the main purpose of it. It demonstrates initiative. College coaches appreciate athletes who take the time to introduce themselves and grow genuine interest into their program. It sets the stage for future communication. Your letter serves as an initial touching point and can lead to follow-up emails, calls, and visitations from the college coach. It provides key information quickly. Coaches need essential details like stats, your position, and your academic standards. It shows interest in their program. Now, this is a big one here. In the cover letter, personalized letters demonstrates that you've reached out to their team, which can make a positive impression on the college coach. Personalizing each letter by using the coach's name and referring to their program. You got to keep it concise, professional, and direct. Now, I'm going to give you some examples here of a cover letter. The first part of the cover letter is intended to introduce the student athlete to the coach. Now, you can write something along these lines. Coach Johnson, my name is Billy Jones, and I'm a junior at XYZ High School. I'm interested in competing at XYZ College in the year 2028. Or you could say, I have an interest in playing basketball for XYZ State University next year. Now, that is the very first part of the letter. The next one, you need to go ahead and list your achievements. And you can do this in an outline of a few of your athletic achievements and stats. If you participate in other sports, like you may be playing basketball or football or running track and things like that, you can go ahead and mention those. And you can also mention some of the reward or awards that you receive, like an all-region or all-state or whole school records. And then you want to just briefly mention these items. Don't go into great detail. And you could say something along these lines: I'm an all-round student athlete playing three different sports. Last spring, I broke the regional record in the 100-meter dash and received all-state honors in track and football. This summer, I'm playing left field and first base on our regional championship baseball team, and I batted 398 during the season. So do it very briefly. Then you've got to show why you like your sport that you're going in. If it's football or baseball or whatever, you need to go ahead and explain to the coach why you enjoy your sport. And this could be a very simple one-line page or one-line paragraph, such as, I played football since I was 12 years old. I enjoy being part of a winning team, and I love to hit. And so the next thing that you need to put into the cover letter is your current involvements into sports. You got to let the coach know what you're currently doing in your sport, including any academic achievements. Now, you could have a one paragraph on this, and you could say something along these lines: I'm presently playing in our all-city field hockey league, which won the state championship last year. We will be traveling to Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky this season to compete against past state champions. At the end of the last year, I earned a 3.9 GPA in honors courses and maintained a 4.0 GPA in math and science. Now, why is this important to bring up your grades? There are certain rules under the NCAA that tells the individual student athlete that they have to make academic progress. So if a coach checks into your grade point average or your GPA and they see that it's very low or whatever, then they can possibly assume that this individual is not going to succeed on an academic standpoint and possibly fall out of the NCAA guidelines of being eligible to play in that particular sport. Then you need to go ahead in the introductory letter: how can you benefit the team? Let the coaches know you can benefit their college team. Now, this is one thing that can be very impressive to the college coach, and you can write something along these lines: I believe in hard work, practice, and learning from my mistakes. I want to play on a college team that has a winning philosophy. I believe I can continue the tradition of hard-hitting linebackers at XYZ College. Now, the letter should show professionalism, maturity of the student athlete, and a lot of substance. And this is important: no fluff. Don't put any exaggerations or whatever into this cover letter. Now, after writing the first draft, make sure that you have your parents or coaches or guidance counselors read it before you submit it in. Now, this is very important. Make sure to personalize the envelope directly by addressing the envelope to the college coach in your own handwriting. Now, you can type the letter out if you would prefer, which is no problem. But when you send it to the college coach, make sure that you handwrite the envelope. This is going to be showing the coach that this is personally coming from you. Don't type it or, stamp it or whatever. Make sure you handwrite these particular envelopes out in longhand. Al, Gary, do you all have any questions?
I have one. Way back at the beginning, actually two. Back at the beginning, you mentioned not worrying about blue chip. What's a blue chip athlete?
Okay, we covered this a little bit in our last podcast, but a blue chip athlete is getting the attention of the college coaches early in the high school year.
Is this something the coach is chasing him, or is he chasing the coach?
Well, no, the coaches are chasing him.
Okay.
So the cover letter with the 90% of the athletes out here that are not blue chip candidates, they're not getting noticed. So therefore, you have to take a proactive approach in making sure that you contact the coaches and make them be interested in you. Now, there's other steps that goes along with the cover letter. In our next podcast, we're going to be covering is sending them the bio. And the bio will go also along with the cover letter. It's going to be a little longer presentation.
I got a second question. You also mentioned, well, actually, you didn't mention. I was thinking a list. So there's, I don't know, gosh, there's over 3,000 colleges out there. There's different categories, Division One, et cetera, NAIC. So what do you look for first? The college that you can excel at, the college that has the major you want, or the college that has the sports you want? I mean, you see what I mean? How do I create the list to send the letters to?
Yes, well, that's a good point, Al. It all depends on what level of competition that you can play and participate in. Most individual students are going to look at the Division I schools. Now, I'm talking about your football and your basketball and a lot of track and baseball. So most of them are going to look at a Division I, but they may not be capable of playing at the Division I level. So therefore, you need to have some type of an evaluation from an individual that is unbiased that will assess your skills. And this is the reason where Gary last time in our last podcast brought up that this needs to be done early in the high school year. So I normally suggest individuals to pick, a few Division I schools, a few Division II schools, a few Division III schools, and even consider some schools that are not in the NCAA
NAIC,
arena. And that's going to give you a good mix of schools, very similar of you, Al, coming in and advising individuals to select the appropriate college on an academic standpoint. And
And that's kind of where I was coming from. Should I do an academic search first?
yes, that's one of the big things to where you want to make sure that you can succeed academically at these colleges and universities.
And then the Division One, Division Two. I mean, it kind of the question rolling around in my head is, how many letters would you coach a person to do? I mean, that could be complicated real quick, I would think.
Well, one of the areas that I would suggest doing is going in and subscribing to college coaches online. And it's going to give you a good idea of the colleges. It's going to give you all the information, coach's name, their contact information, where individual student athletes are being recruited. Once again, you've got to succeed academically to participate in college athletics. If you fall below a certain standards, then you fall out of the NCAA guidelines and you possibly will lose, well, not possibly, you will lose your scholarship, athletic scholarship. And so you've got to make sure that you select a university to where you're going to succeed academically as well as athletically. Here's where a lot of individual student athletes really run into a problem. And they may have been very good high school ball players. They played, every game, every minute and everything. And then once they go to college, their freshman year, they're not going to get that much time. Now, blue chip athlete will more than likely get some time to play. And they've got to realize is that they may be sitting the bench for the freshman and the sophomore year without playing 1 minute of competition. And that is difficult for individuals that have succeeded academically or athletically in high school. And there's where a lot of individual student athletes go to a particular university, and then all of a sudden they're not getting to play, and all they're doing is practicing, and they get frustrated, they get burned out, and now all of a sudden they quit. Now you're sitting here going to a university that may be costing $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year for to going at that college, and all of a sudden now you've lost your athletic scholarship. Now you're looking in is that can the parents afford to pay for the cost of losing your scholarship? And now all of a sudden you're looking at possibly transferring to another university. I see this all the time. So there's where the importance of coming in and making sure that you want to play athletics in college, because it is almost a full-time job.
You know, that brings up another question, which wasn't on my list here as I was listening to you, but there's a lot of variables here. And Chuck, I know this is a DIY type podcast that we do with Prepare for College. But this sounds like something that one would benefit greatly from having a athletic coach, a fee-based counselor or consultant, or I don't know what the word is, but yeah. Consultant, I guess, to help you pick those colleges, you know, because gosh, the Division I alone could be a huge number of colleges, a huge number of letters. And you're saying Division I, II, III, and mix it up. There's a lot of variables here. So it seems to me one would want to consider if they are going to go into the athletic world and compete at the college level, they may want to consider having invest in a coach.
It is a specialty. And if an individual is truly wanting to play at the next level and they do have the athletic ability to do so, I would recommend going out and searching out some type of athletic consultant to help them with. Now, a lot of them will run to these recruiting services. Now, there are a few recruiting services out there that they can contact. You can see a cost of anywhere between $500, and I've seen some of them as high as $45,000 to $5,000. And they're basically telling the student athlete that they will go ahead and get their name out to, 15 to 2,000 colleges. They give you a little bit of guidelines and such. But I normally recommend getting someone that will work with the student athlete by hand. Gary, you have something?
Yes, I do. I'm going to come in with a finance question again, okay? And this is pretty basic, but you hear about these players getting scholarships, money to play sports, and there's a lot of different divisions in a sport. Can you just run down who's going to get the money and who's not, depending on where they play?
Normally, you're going to get, of course, scholar. If you go to a Division I school in your revenue sports, you're going to get a full athletic scholarship for at least 1 year, number one. If you go to a Division II school, you're more than likely are going to get a partial athletic scholarship. It may cover maybe room and board, or they may just offer you books and supplies. And normally you will not be offered a full athletic scholarship until you become a first or second stringer, which normally doesn't happen until your junior or senior year. Now, your Division III schools do not offer athletic scholarships. Your Division III schools offer you academic as well as need-based aid. But that's not to say that they can't come up with some merit scholarships based off of your athletic ability. That will be very similar to an athletic scholarship, but then again, they can't call it an athletic scholarship. And your NAIA schools, which a lot of them are junior college, some of them are four-year colleges, they have their own rules. And it all depends on the individual college on what they want to distribute out to the individual students. There's where the individual consulting can really come in hand, or at least a resource that the individual parents can reach out to answer their questions. If they're wanting to do it on their own, get a resource out there that they can get on the phone and they can talk to individuals. And a lot of these student athletes that are out there, that is really the big main reason why they want to go to college to begin with, because they want to play some type of athletics while they're in college. And a lot of these student athletes do not realize academics is basically what is the most important thing, is to get some type of degree.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Chuck.
Al, did you have anything?
No, this has been very informative for me. I'm not an athletic coach. I know you are, and you would never say it in these DIY meetings, but I'm going to put a plug in for you, buddy, because I think this is something that I think a true athletic academic person, it's a special breed, but there's so many variables here. It seems to me quite wise to solicit somebody to assist you with this.
I can come down, and I've been doing this going on 35, 36 years. And just by talking to the student athlete and getting their attitude of why they enjoy their sport, their academics, and I could basically tell them whether or not you're going to succeed at the college level, of what they've accomplished in high school. How do they compete? Have they got any major honors or things along those lines? And I can tell whether or not a student athlete has the ability or capability to succeed academically within 10, 15 minutes. Just by talking to the high school student.
Well, it sounds to me like a way to go. Gary, I'm good for today. I'm looking forward to our next session here with Chuck. This is a nice series. Looking forward to it. Gary? Good.
Chuck, thank you very much. For all those out there, again, this is a recorded podcast on our website at Prepare for College. And that website, again, is the word prepare, the number four, and the word college.com. So join us next week when we're going to talk about bios that the student may want to have with that letter coming up. That should be interesting. For all those out there who have been following us, if you have friends, relatives, anyone who's have children about to go to school, don't keep us a secret. Again, the website is prepareforcollege.com, and it's a do-it-yourself type of operation, and with a lot of good information, could save you some time. So, Chuck, Al, thank you for joining us today, and all you out there, thank you. Have a good week. Goodbye now.